The book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7, and we will begin our reading this afternoon at verse number 8. Zechariah 7 and verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the strangers, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and they pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that he cried, and they would not hear. So they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Turning now in your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, reading verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Jesus, we come to you today, Lord, with a humble heart and a desiring soul. We come to you today, God, looking for you to move and to manifest. Allow the Holy Ghost, God, through the word today to speak to every heart, every soul, God, whether they are online or they are here. We ask you, God, to allow your truth to triumph. We ask you, God, to keep your word fresh, quicker, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We're quick to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in that matchless and mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In these closing hours of time, one of the most sacred of sacraments, which is a rite, a ceremony, a service, that we as a people of God must at all costs not allow the prevalent satanic forces to extinguish in our midst, is the unadulterated preaching of the Word of God. What I'm saying to you this day is never should we in our lives allow there to come a time when it is we as apostolic believers to get to where we, like so many others, already have. By shutting our hearts and closing our ears to the sounding of the trumpet of God that comes to us through none other than that of preaching. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, and the second portion of that verse, it is God who had the Apostle Paul write, It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, what I'm not saying to you today is that people, that even we, those of us that are here and are part of this church, will not continue to come and to be the ones to give our ears to the Word of God that comes across this pulpit. But what I am saying to you is that it is we who must guard ourselves against the day and the time wherein it's we who only allow our ears to hear and our hearts to receive preaching that is only surface preaching and doesn't reach into the very depths of our soul, but which instead is only that which causes us to pay attention when it is the Word of God and the words of the man of God that tickles the fancy of our flesh. Tell me what I want to hear, and tell me what I like to hear, and don't tell me and don't preach to me words that I am not interested to hear. Doing that instead of heeding to the words being preached, being that which brings about in us conviction and a desire for that of a deeper walk with God, a walk that enriches our hearts and springs forth life inside our soul. Something that begins to stir, something that begins to cause a stirring in our life, something that pricks us in the heart, something that just nails it sometimes right where it is. Preaching that causes me inside to reflect, and preaching that asks for me and my own soul to begin to consider change. This afternoon, for the next while, it is I who will now preach to you a message titled Silencing the Voice of the Shepherd. Silencing the Voice of the Shepherd. What it is that I want to bring out to you in the onset of this, my message thought, is God's desire, I believe, is always to have his people established and settled upon that of his word. A word that it is to we as a people, one that creates within us a firm foundation. Amen. A foundation that I can stand on. A foundation when the world's in trouble and there's earthquakes of life and troubles and trials about us, that we stand firm, that we can hang on to a word that is established. As far as preachers or preaching, as you would likely find in Zechariah's day, was not in the same fashion as it is in our day. But by the same context of preaching, it was the prophets of the Old Testament who were and who before and for the people came to them as a voice from God. It was the prophets that God sent before the people. It was his word that he had them to proclaim. And in a text of the book of Zechariah, chapter 7, we find the Lord, through the words of Zechariah, seeking to set forth a standard of righteousness. And it was in the 11th verse of the 7th chapter of Zechariah that we find where the people were refusing to hearken as they pulled away their shoulder. And they stopped their ear that they would not hear. Now, I'm not saying to you that there was no longer preachers or preaching, but it was at this time, it was that the preaching that had become among the people to be ineffective. And if you just imagine, if you will, seeing people when the word of the Lord went forth, throwing up their arms and stopping their ears in and within this action, what they were saying is, we're not listening to you, and as a matter of fact, we don't even want to listen to you. I don't want to hear what you're saying. You're telling me things that I don't want to hear, and you're preaching to me things that I am not interested in. And so there they were. Could you imagine standing there and watching people just go like this or put their hands over their ears as the word of the Lord went forth? See, ever since the introduction in the New Testament to God's plan of salvation, it is and it has been God who wants you as a soul to repent. It is God who asks you in turn to turn away from your wicked ways. And it was the people in this biblical illustration in Zechariah who together would not hear. If you think about it for a moment on what it is that I'm saying to you today is, when it is the preacher who cries out, hey, you know, if you don't turn from living your lives for your flesh, and if you don't stop doing things and that gets God mad by living in a world of sin, well, hell and all of its fury is going to be waiting for you. And they, the people, reply, yeah, well, blah, blah, blah. And then, no, the preacher says, listen to me. You need to stop doing what you're doing before sin destroys your life, your family, your children, your soul. And again, the word that comes back, well, ooh, I'm scared. I found out over the several years of ministering and preaching to people that hell doesn't really scare people. Preaching about hell doesn't really, it maybe might stop them for a minute or two, but preaching about hell and the peril of being lost and cast into that place called hell for all eternity, well, it doesn't scare you. It doesn't stop a person from doing or continuing on in the lifestyle that they do. They hear it. It pricks their heart. And, And they might even respond in that service, but I've seen many a time where those have walked out of that service and right back into a life that they were living contrary to God and to His Word after it was preached. As it is every week that the preacher gets up and he reaches for you, as it is he who reaches for your family, it is the preacher or the pastor, the shepherd, that calls out for you to live your life for God and to be an example and to be the one to reach those within your world of influence. Question could be asked is, how many times, I ask you, is it that messages and preaching such as this is what continues to fall upon deaf ears? I'm not moved by this. Preacher, I'm too busy to stop what I'm doing in order for me to do as it is that you say I need to do. I mean, it's not popular, and it's not what people or my family or anyone, for that matter, wants to hear. Well, why is that? Well, I'll lose friends, and the people that I know will turn against me, maybe even as they've also turned against you. I wonder, does anybody really today know what it is I'm talking to you about? I'm preaching to you about stopping the voice of the shepherd. Come on, lighten up, you know, go easy on things. Wouldn't you like to fill this place up with people? Yeah, well, not the blood bought, not the blood washed, just with people, a club. Let's fill up this place with a club. Pastor, why not just preach prosperity and goodwill? You know, preach the things that people want to hear, because if you don't, we, pastor or shepherd, are not going to listen, and we as a people will not give our ears to hear either. You see, folks, what it is that's happening even among the ranks of the apostolics is that people are putting pressure on their shepherd. They're trying to get the one that is leading them to stop with all of that, you know, you need to repent business, and you need to straighten up your life, and you need to quit doing some of the things that you're doing, or I and my family will just quit coming. You better hear me now. I pay good tithe. You know, there's a lot of us. I know a lot of people. You better change things. Just preach what we want to hear and leave the rest to our own conscience as to how we live, how we dress, where we go. We don't need to be told or instructed or admonished in the ways of worldliness and ungodliness, for we can and we will figure this out on our own. You see, it is people, even God's people today, who are feeling and who are coming under the weight and the pressure of a morally decaying world. And that is why that we as God's people, now more than ever before in the history of our world, that we need to, in fact, we must be the ones, church, to settle in our hearts for nothing less than that of the preaching of God's word. The word that carries the command for you, for us, to come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. And God says, then will I receive you. It's we who got to say, you know what? No, I'm not going to stop that voice. I'm not going to shun that voice. I want to hear real preaching. Preachers, time for you to get up maybe and to get up to speed, people say, with the modern world full of its modern technology, and get off the platform of telling we as a people how to live. I, for one, cannot tell you the times, the many times in my own ministry over the years where it was I who grieved the loss of a soul, of a saint of God, as it was they or them who said, we, I am not going to listen to you. I want to do what I want to do, and you're not going to get in my way. You know, the Bible's up for my own interpretation, and as I see it and how I perceive it, I'm going to live it, and that's not going to be by my listening to you. You're too hard, preacher. You're too straight. The road that you walk upon is too steep, and yet as it's I, as the shepherd who cries out to them, how that it is the word that I preach, and God, the God that I serve, is he who declares how that broad is the way and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. And yet narrow is the way and straight is the gate which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And still they throw up their arms and they stop their ears, and so many are they who just tell their shepherd where they can go, and if the shepherd doesn't crumble under the weight of the pressure to let go and to let down on where it is that he stands, I want you to know that there are many who go about their way making sure that everyone knows that they do not agree with what is being preached, but they too, in this hour, they take their liberty to use social media to spew their poison, rebellious words to those who are foolish enough to give their ears. Why do you believe that for? Why do you walk that way for? Because it's written. Because God calls for us to be holy. In the book of Hebrews 12 and 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Yeah, that's my interpretation, isn't it? That's up for grabs, isn't it? No. It's the Word of God. See, it is the church that has within it the truth. The church has the words of eternal life, and it tells us of a passageway for any soul who is interested in making heaven and how to get there. The message of the cross of Christ and the gospel that Jesus Christ sent his disciples out to preach was never going to be a message that the world back then and even the world today wants to hear. See, the reason is because the message of Jesus Christ and his church is one that presents to the people a conflict. A conflict of heaven against hell. A conflict that within itself is what will cause families or friends to be against one another and not to be able to just mingle together without there being things that will offend. The world will be what brings to this world conscience when you preach to them conviction. Conviction for the wrongs that they are doing. Please turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Reading verses 34. Through 39. The words of Jesus is, think not that I've come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. You see, we're living in a society and among a people, God's people, whose philosophy is to become more like the world, than as it will be what makes us or them more popular with the world, than it would be for us to be a reflection of the Christ, the God who became flesh in order to save us, the God that so many Christians claim to serve. I want you to hear this today. It is the world that looks at those who try to be like them but proclaim to carry the message of salvation as being hypocrites and fools. The reason is because it is the world that's looking for ways to get out of and to be able to get away from the sin and the bondage that has held them bound for years, and it's not going to be by them staying and remaining the way that they are. I thought there's something different in Christianity. I thought that God would call us away from some of the things that we're doing. So the Word of God, I believe, is clear in its mandate to be separate and to be separated from a world that is more and more becoming completely and against God. The book of 1 John chapter 2. The book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. The writer writes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, it is God's church that is the enemy of the culture of this world, and it is the church, God's church, that does not fit into the mold of society, the one that society wants them to fit into. But it is the church, those who are called out from this world, who instead are the ones who offer to this corrupt generation the opportunity of escape. Well, it is the people of this world and even the people in the church itself whose mandate, it seems more and more, is to be the ones to stop the voice of the shepherd in order to become a people that kill the North American church and the move of God in the assemblies that they gather in. Don't you preach to me. Don't you correct my wrongs. Don't you ask me to sacrifice for the kingdom because I'm not going to listen to you. Don't you do that. Don't you dare cross that line. And folks, this is why I believe now more than ever before, this is the reason that people today are not receiving in their lives the preached word, God's word that calls for them to separate, preaching holiness and righteousness, a call to come out from the midst of a world of bondage and a world full of sin. That's not what I want to hear. I'll go up the street. I'll hear something more palatable. And I'm here to tell you today that somebody, I believe, has got to be the one to preach the word and not to bow to the pressures of this day. Preaching the Acts 2:38 plan of salvation and the call for holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And ask you to consider for a moment what our world would be like without Jesus. Without any existence of moral boundaries, even though the ones that are in place at this present time are limited. Where a society would be without a foundation, without something to hold on to or to lean on. Where would we as a society and a people be? Well, I'll tell you where I believe where we would be. We'd likely be living in a rampant world in the absence of any restraint, nor border, nor boundaries that would not be crossed by the people. We would become lawless. People would become laws to themselves. They'd name it, claim it, they'd blab it, and they'd grab it. They'd do it, they'd pursue it, and it wouldn't matter what anybody said. They'd be a law to themselves. In churches today, I believe that people more and more are becoming satisfied with their not having the power of God moving in their services, because today there's no commitment, there's no rules, there's no more moral guidelines. Just show up and feel good, just give and let it be as life, you know, as life gives to us, what? Powerless and godless. I've heard people that have gone to visit other churches and they've walked into the assemblies and they've gone through the entire church service without hearing the word Jesus Christ, or talk about God. They've heard current events. They've heard about things that are going on in the world. I've heard of people going into churches and said it's just like twice dead and plucked up by the roots. And nobody moved. Nobody said a word. They all just sat there just like little lemmings, and they listened to whatever was said, and they got up and walked outside, lit their cigarettes, got in their cars, headed to the beach and maybe over to the liquor store to grab their six-pack and have a nice evening. I heard of people doing that. What about God? What about the power of God? Well, you know what? I'm not really willing to sacrifice for that. I just want to have what we have. And what's that? Nothing. So living without conscience. People saying, you know, come on. Are you preaching to me? Are you preaching to anybody here? Are we the church really, folks? Are we going to allow what I call an infection, the shutting down, if you will, of an unfettered pulpit, one that if we don't guard ourselves against will be what comes our way? Are we going to do that? I'm just going to let it go. Yeah, we're just going to let it go. People don't like that. They don't get interested in that. I want you to turn, please, with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 30. I'm preaching to you from my heart today. God spoke this message into my spirit. It took me 4 days to put it together in different time frames. Isaiah chapter 30. We're going to be reading verses 8 through 13. Now go and write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way and turn aside out of the path, and cause not the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this world, this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh forth suddenly and then at an instant. Don't tell us what we need to hear. Tell us what we want to hear. Don't correct me. Don't say what I'm doing is wrong. Give me 30 years, I'll change. And if God comes, I guess I might just miss out. But I want to say today that as long as this preacher occupies this pulpit, as long as this ministry is who stands before you presenting to you what I classify the unadulterated word of God, I won't allow this pulpit to be overtaken by those whose only objective is to silence the voice of the shepherd. But I wonder who it is that will come up after the fact that this generation of moral men are gone. Because unless this apostolic message is what, as my son this morning, Brother Michael Zotsman stated so rightly, becomes embedded into the depths of our soul, the souls of those who follow, it won't be long before this slimy, power-zapping, weak, and anemic emerging message will take the forefront of the church that was once purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And this message and the gospel along with the preaching will be what is washed away, explained away, silenced. You can probably go into several churches today and all across the denominal world and probably even Trinity Pentecost, and you have to wait a long time before anybody preaches about hell, separation from the world, to come out from among them, to get rid of your Netflix and your movies and to not consider that, you know, smoking or drinking is wrong. Just keep giving. Keep showing up. Let's get the numbers. Let it get them up there. Let's explain it away. How come pastor doesn't preach that anymore? Well, he wants people, honey. He wants people to come and to stay. I stand before you, church, to declare that the gospel of Jesus Christ carries within it a testimony. Those who have repented of their sins and who are baptized in Jesus' name, who have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by them speaking in an unknown tongue, they are who stand upon a firm foundation. They are, and we are, the ones whose rock is called Christ. But in all of this, it had better be we, the church, they who hold the truth in righteousness, who never allow nor give way to our being the ones to silence the voice of the shepherd. But pastor, preacher, preach to me. Tell me like it is. Declare it unto the congregation. Allow us to be your Aaron and your Hur. As it is we who hold up the hands of our shepherd. As it is he who preaches the words of life to us. I think of that time in the scripture where I guess Jesus was up there. I call it meddling. I think he was up there meddling and he was, you know, getting in people's faces probably with his word. And the congregation, the people that had gathered one by one, they started turning and walking away. And maybe it would dwindle down to pretty much nobody. And it was Jesus who turned around and he looked at the 12 disciples. He said, so are you going to leave too? And Peter said the words. He said, Lord, where could we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? I want you. I want truth. I want God in my life. I need to have a cleansed soul. I want to see heaven one day. I want to hear what you have to say. You know, sometimes it pricks, sometimes it hurts, sometimes it makes me laugh, other times it makes me cry. But preach to me. I believe that God's people were never meant to be powerless. God's people were never meant to suffer and to walk this walk of life alone. You know, it's not God who wants it that way, but God, I believe, wants us to fly. It's God's whose desire is for us to succeed. John records the words of Jesus in his gospel in the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 3. The gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Here Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that you may be also. I believe that the message of salvation is one that offers to the whosoever will the opportunity to walk upon streets of gold, to behold the walls of jasper. But on the day that the voice of the shepherd in our day is silenced, all of this, I believe, will be what no longer applies. When the word of God is weakened, when the voice of the shepherd is silenced, when people are left to their own fleshly ways, heaven, my friends, I believe will be a fading dream. And that's why it's you who needs to get behind the voice of your shepherd and As Paul said, to follow me as I follow Christ. It is you who needs to get behind the voice of the evangelist, saying, come on, preacher, come on, pastor, come on, evangelist, preach to me, I've got to be saved. Amen. To a world full of people who know nothing other than the life, the pit, the mess that they're living in. When it is they, and it was you, whom God allowed to step into a world where God's word, preaching, opened up your horizon, and it the preaching brought to you an opportunity of being able to escape. Many are they, my friends, who just like you, they grabbed a hold of it and this chance of escape, and they ran to the church house and they opened their ears to the preached word that was being delivered. And it was God who in turn, who made them, you, us, free. This is what I want. This is what I waited for. This are the words of life. This is the direction that I am going to allow my life to go in. And yet as the epidemic of an anti-God infusion into our society grows, as people in church of almost every denomination from within are calling for the ceasing of preaching and the closure of the authority of the pulpit, still it is you who finds and will find people in our world that are trying to escape the corruption and the dysfunction of a world gone wrong. And if, my friends, if it is the preachers who no longer preach, and if it's the shepherd's voice that are brought into silence, where, I ask you, will the seeking, the searching, the hurting soul go in order for them to experience in their life that which changes them from the inside out? For what centuries has proved to be what has set the captive free? What are you talking about? I'm talking about preaching. Preaching sets the soul free. I want you to know today that when it gets to where it's the minority of modern-day shepherds who seek to hold on to the values of what preaching is all about, well, it is the majority who are they who have been silenced. It is this infection is what so easily become inserted into the hearts and minds of people. Hey, that church doesn't believe that that's necessary, as you say. I mean, in their church, the people can dress, they can go, they can do anything they want to do, and they're still saved. Maybe the word of God isn't so strict on our having to live a holy life, but as the shepherd who says, it is. Well, maybe I want to live my life free, I want to roam free, I want to do, dress, live any way I choose without you or anybody telling me what I want to do is wrong. But the tragedy, I believe, with such a concept of thought is it's they, those who in their lives who silence the voice of the shepherd, who choose to live their life in such a fashion, one day will come to discover that their silencing of their shepherd's voice will ultimately be what costs them their soul. No boundaries, no guidelines, no restraint, just liberty. Today I declare to you one and all that nothing can nor will ever substitute for a move of the Holy Ghost. And there's nothing that I know that can ever improve upon the experience that you felt, that you feel at an old-fashioned altar. It is you who cries out to God, and as it is God who in turn responds. And a person may wonder just how this supernatural phenomenon in God occurs in a person's life. I'll tell you how. It's by their being under the unction and the anointing of an apostolic preacher. It is he who delivers his soul, the anointed word of God. And it is God who, through his word, who calls for you to respond by repenting of your sins and by being willing to be changed from the inside out. By your being the one to give yourself wholeheartedly unto God. And it is you who opens your heart, your mind, and you cry out to God from the depths of your soul. It is you who responds to the preaching. I wonder today who among us it will be who will be able to stand up to declare how that preaching changed your life. I wonder today who would testify to the fact that the day that they, you walked into the church house and that the preacher got up to preach, that something got a hold of you and it caused a stirring inside of your soul. And it was you who from within your heart, you felt a kind of an unlocking of a feeling that you never had felt before. You begin to stir from within you a desire to want more, a desire to want to change. I feel the Holy Ghost church, a desire to want to respond. I want to respond. I want what you've got. I got to receive what you have received. And looking back, you would say, you know, I don't have the same purposes in my life anymore. I don't desire the things I used to anymore. like going to a bar, like smoking a cigarette, like the party life is no longer what I desire. What do I do? Desire is to be under the spout where the glory of God pours out. What it is that I look to seek to be fulfilled in my life is a fresh outpouring and anointing from God that I know more than ever before. It what causes me to receive through the preached word. It's a preached word that convicts. It's a preached word that gets a hold of my heart. It's a preached word that causes me to say, enough! I don't want that world. I want God. Preaching is what will cause you to climb mountains. It is preaching that brings to you a confidence to know that you can walk right into the face of any storm and overcome it. And it is you who opens up your mind to preaching. It is the voice of God through the preaching that causes you to want to grow, to want to change, to reflect upon the image of your Creator. We talked about that the other night. I want to look like Him. I want to act like Him. I want people to know that I talk like my Savior. I want them to recognize there's a difference from the world to who it is that I am. When it's you who hears the voice of the shepherd, as it is He who places inside of you a confidence, who through the word of God helps you to overcome fear and doubt. It's you who are able to see things in a context of reality, knowing that the only way that you can ever hope to escape a world that is on a collision course with hell is to do whatever it is that you need to do and to get as close to God as you can and to be as far away from the world as you can be as possible. So that's why if it's we who get to the place where we silence the voice of the shepherd and we begin to allow ourselves to go along with the status quo of the other mainstream churches, if it's we who then will experience the voice of God in our churches also, I believe, as the scripture declared, going silent. And once the move of God, and once we come to know what is the move of God, is gone, instead of a thriving, moving church, we'll become likened unto just another club, one of those that gather to just feel good. And in fact, what it is that they allow themselves to do is maybe to feel free, but what they have inside is emptiness. I believe, church, everything that we are, my friends, today, everything that you would ever come out to be, it comes out of the book of Acts 2:38 message, a message that causes us and a message that will cause you to desire to give your all to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith. And by you allowing your shepherd to stand before you, declaring the fact that you must repent, that you must be baptized in Jesus' name, and that you won't make it to heaven without the Holy Ghost and holiness, again, without which no man shall see the Lord. As I head for a close today, I ask you, how will our children make it to heaven? How will our families, our friends, ever get the chance to experience what we in our lives have experienced? If it is we as a church who silence the voice of the shepherd. If it's we, maybe you, maybe your children, in fact, are the ones who will never get exposed to the word of God through preaching. See, every message that you hear may not be what tickles your funny bone, but over time it is every message that you hear will be what's going on to be what sets your soul not only free, but on a course towards heaven. Finally, this afternoon, reading from the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandment all the way. Well, just how do we do that? I mean, how is it that we as a people learn to do this? I'll tell you how. Through preaching. Moses goes on to say from the 16th to the 19th verse of the same chapter, take heed to yourself that your heart be not deceived and that you turn aside and serve other gods and you worship them, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you and he shut up the heaven that there be no rain and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and that they may be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and they'll rise us up. Please come. See, as preachers behind the pulpits around our world more and more are being silenced as the prosperous gospel is what's being spread and the call for people that came out from among them is no longer required. In the coming generations, the Lord tarries all that we know and all that we as a people have experienced in our life. I believe it hangs in the balance. As it may be, what gets into that place of history in the midst of a people whose power of God will be what just ceases to flow. And the false doctrine of prosperity and plenty would be what replaces the soul's need to turn from the wickedness and to cleanse their sinful hearts and to change. And then it'll be God, my friends, who will in return for what may be just he'll return for a remnant of those who in their lives who may be held on to the power through the preached word. I'm not going to put a muffle in his mouth. What a picture. I'm not going to stop him from preaching to me or my kids. I'm not going to say, don't talk to me about change. Let's stand together. My prayer for all you this day is that you in your heart never close your ears to the preaching of God's word that comes across the pulpit from the voice of your shepherd. That you stand firm and resolute in the fact that no matter what the day, it will never come in this church or in your heart wherein it'll be you as a people who call for the silencing of the voice of the shepherd. Preacher, preach to me. Whatever it takes, I've got to be saved. So, preacher, please, would you just preach for me? A fettered pulpit, a silent voice, a muffled cry of the shepherd. Not in this house, not in our lives, because it's we who love preaching. So go ahead, preacher, and preach to me.
Amen.
I believe it's time as a church that we need to pray. We need to do some soul searching. It's time really in our hearts to reaffirm in our lives the fact that we as a body of Christ are they who refuse to settle on the selling out of preaching. We've got to decide today, what are you going to hear? What will you want to hear? What do you want God to say to you? Whatever it is that God wants to say. Well, what if you don't like it? What if it rubs you the wrong way?
Preacher, still preach to me. Dear Lord,
this altar is open for those that would like to come and reflect. If you'd like to reflect on what it is that you heard today, we gather to this front and as we would maybe just close our eyes and bow our heads and say, God, but I don't ever want to get to the place where I silence
daily walking.